Let's regather, everybody. Come on back in. All righty. Two additional announcements we want to make. One is that we forgot to mention our first Friday free prayer outreach is happening this Friday downtown. And if you would like information on that, you can either check out our website or you could consult with Mr. David Vargo. David, where are you in the room? He's right back here. And he will talk to you about how to get involved with that. Also, the second thing, just want to make a plug for Kids Church. You see these snazzy yellow shirts all these people are wearing. Some of those who have those shirts wore them today, not everybody, but this is what is worn when we serve in Kids Church. And if you perhaps were inspired by the production, the songs, the children dancing, the different acting, the cartoon. They made that, by the way. I don't know if you guys caught that, but that was made by folks in our church. There's actually a live-action one also that we put on Facebook you might check out where they actually acted everything out. It's like professional quality. It's incredible if you haven't seen it. But if you're interested in being part of any of our kids' church, any ages, and that includes youth group also, I want to encourage you to talk to Vanessa, the young lady that was up here, and she will get you involved and show you how you can be involved with our kids' church. So let's continue in our study of Judges in a series of messages I've titled Faith in Impossible Things. We are in the third week of this. It's an eight-week study, and this happens in the life of a man named Gideon. And the question I've asked each week is, have you ever felt like you were in an impossible situation? Maybe you feel like you're in one now. A situation that you really see no way out of, but perhaps there's a glimmer of hope because you know that we serve God who does impossible things. Well, maybe that's you. If you found yourself in that place, if you haven't yet, you might one day. And we are studying the life of a man named Gideon. He was called in the New Testament, referred to as one of those who had great faith. So we're looking at his life back in the book of Judges. And I'm going to show a graphic of the timeline of the Old Testament. And this will pop up on the wall. And just probably the last time I'll show this, I've showed it the first few weeks. And so this is the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is the Bible. And so right between the green and the purple there, at the green, the beginning on the left side is the creation of the world and Adam and Eve, and then we have the curse coming into the world and the world becoming corrupted, and then Noah's Ark happens and the world is sort of reset at that time. And then you have the what's called the patriarchs, the forefathers of the faith, which are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And they, under them, the nation of Jews grows to this massive group of millions and millions of people. They end up enslaved in the nation of Exodus, doing hard labor, making bricks and straw, and helping build the pyramids of Egypt. A man named Moses is raised up, rather a baby named Moses is raised up, to lead them out of that slavery. That's the book of Exodus. Exodus means leaving or exiting. And so the book happens, Exodus, they are led out through signs, wonders, and miracles and the power of God. And then Moses leads the people through the wilderness for a number of years as they sort some things out, and they finally land after 40 years ready to occupy the land of Israel. And that takes us through the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then we end up in a book called Joshua. You know why it's called Joshua? Because there's a guy named Joshua, and he was sort of Moses' understudy, and Moses passed away before they entered the promised land. And Joshua was charged by God and by Moses to lead the people. So he leads the people into the land. This lasts many, many years. They occupy the land. That's what the book of Joshua is about. And then the sad, depressing book of Judges begins. Judges is a book where once Joshua passes away, they have no king, but they have this group of men and women called judges. And the judges are sort of political and spiritual leaders that are trying to lead the nation into good things. And after the judges period is when the kings happen. Saul, and maybe you've heard of King David, even if you're new to the Bible, and that's when we have all the kings. So this happens right there, kind of between the green and the purple, and this book of Judges. And Gideon was the fifth of these judges. As I said, he was put in an impossible situation. He is called in the New Testament book of Hebrews one of those who had great faith. And here's what we're going to talk about today. April helped me title this message because I had a title that wasn't great. But what did we end up titling it? Redeem the past to bless the future. So we started and we looked at the journey of Gideon being called and doubting himself and God saying, this isn't about you. And we looked at many things in this beginning of this passage of Judges 6. Today we're going to visit something very, very important. And that is that before we get too far along with God's instruction for our life, sometimes we need to clean some things out. If you and I take all the broken things from our past and we try to bring it into our future, guess what's going to happen? The future's probably going to start getting broken. So we're going to look at this passage today because once Gideon, he accepts that, God, you've called me to do this, and I'm going to do it, and I know it's not about me, and I'm going to try to go forward in faith, and help me. I need your help. The very first thing the Lord says is, okay, we're going, but I want you to deal with some things first. Redeem the past to bless the future. So we're going to look at 10 verses today that have to do with that, 11 verses rather. Let's pray, and I want to invite you, just get your mind off of this, as beautiful as it is, and the songs and the chaos and the heat. I know it's hot in here. And let's invite the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives. Guys, you're not here to hear a message. The message is meaningless, right? The Spirit of God, we want to take this book and right now, today, July 2025, to speak into our lives where we are and move in us. And that's what I'm praying will happen. So let's invite him to do that. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. We ask you to come. Lord, we are excited to sing, to be together, to celebrate, having kids around. We also so often go so far away from you. We carry the scars in our souls of not following after your ways. And we're just grateful this morning to meet again, to have your words, your instructions, your wisdom. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to be our teacher. We ask you to bypass our minds and move into our hearts and see whatever is causing us to struggle, to limp, to be under a load. And Lord, whatever those things are, I ask for your revelation today by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you would continue the work of redemption in our lives. We just invite you, Lord. We are not American citizens. We are not workers. We are not first fathers and mothers and singles and husbands and wives. First, we are your people, and we come to you, Lord. We say that you are the first in our life, that you are the best in our life. And we invite you to work. God, I pray that you would break a spirit of sleepiness over us that comes so often, that you would break through it, that you would just light us up again, put the fire of God in our lives, Lord, and just give us the grace to respond to you. We want to be full of all that you have, Lord. And we want to experience your goodness and glory. We are not content. So come and move on us, we pray. Teach us through this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, Judges 6, 25 through 35. Judges 6, 25 through 35. Here we go. Now the same night it came about when the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bull, take a second bull that's 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father. Cut down the Asherah that's beside it. Build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold. in an orderly manner. Take a second bull and offer the burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you will cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and he did as the Lord spoke to him. It came about, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, that he did it by night. The men of the city arose early in the morning. Behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah, which was beside it previously, was also cut down. And a second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, "Who did this thing?" And when they searched around, they asked. One said, "It was Gideon, son of Joash, who did this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die. He's torn down our altar of Baal. He's cut down the Asherah that was next to us, to it." Joash said to all that stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal? Will you deliver him? Will you? Whoever will plead for him will be put to death by morning. If he's a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar." Therefore, on that day, they named Gideon Jerubbaal. That is to say, "Let Baal fight with him," because he had torn down his altar. Then the Midianites and the Amalekites, the sons of the east, they all assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. The Spirit of God came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh. They also were called together to follow him. He sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. They all came up to meet them. So, what does this have to do with your life today? I think a lot. Quick recap, Midian's trying to save his produce our first week. The Lord comes to him because there's an army coming. They're just going to ravage his whole field. He's like, "Let me just get a little bit of stuff so I can eat before they come and burn everything and kill all my animals." And the Lord says, "Hey, I'm here, and I'm going to deliver you." And he says, week two, he says, "You're here, but what about all the past? What about all your promises?" And God says, "We're not talking about that. Go, go, I'm going to deliver you." And Gideon says, "Well, what about me? I'm nothing. I'm the youngest, I'm the smallest, I have no ability to fight this army. Who do you think I am?" And God says, "I'll be with you." And Gideon says, "Well, let me make a sacrifice. I need to confirm that this really is God speaking to me." So he goes and he cooks a thing and he puts it on the rock, and the angel touches it and it lights up in fire. And Gideon says, "This is God. He's confirmed himself to me." And that's where the story opens up today. So he's ready. He has some faith. We start pushing through. We get in that place that it's impossible. But God visits us, and we have hope, maybe through a church service or a friend, or maybe it was grandma's prayers, or maybe you heard a song on the radio, or maybe you saw the sunrise and you said, like, "I'm not going to end my life. I'm gonna fight through this. One more day I'm gonna fight through this, because maybe there's something worth fighting for." Maybe you started reading the Bible. Maybe that glimmer of hope happened. Maybe that situation that seemed like it was completely wrecked and your life was over, suddenly the pinhole of light came. That's what happened to Gideon. And he says, "Okay, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to try this thing following God. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. Even with all this that's broken behind me, I'm going to try." And the Lord comes to him and says, "Okay, you're going for it. The first thing I want you to do, before you do the big battle, before you assemble the army, I want you to deal with something from the past." So, what does this apply to? How does this apply to us? Well, the first thing I want to say is that we want to deal with our stuff before going forward. Who owns an automobile? Who owns an automobile that has no issues? It's okay. There's no shame. Raise your hands up. Bless you. I was there once. Who owns an automobile that has issues? I'm just curious, what is wrong with your car? Raise your hand and tell us in one sentence. The tires? The tires and the AC. Yeah. What else is wrong with your car? Who else? A check engine light. Or check that engine. Is it there? Maddie? Maddie's got an oil leak. Oh, Honda's leak oil. One more time? She needs a caliper. It's part of a break. Ah, ah. Who else? Come on. No shame, though. The mirror is held on with duct tape. What else? Water leaking. Man, I feel it. Yet somewhere. Any others? What's wrong with your car? How about you? A crack in your windshield. Dang, man. All right, so here's the thing. Some of you guys know I like to buy old cars and fix them and then drive them and then sell them. There's a little white car out there I bought, and the air didn't work, so I fixed the compressor and charged the air up. The shifter was all sloppy, so I went under the car, took all the linkage apart, and put new bushings in. It's nice and tight now. All the motor mounts were shot, so I took all of them out and put all four in. Now it's nice. It needed an alignment, and then it had this loud noise that was like... So I climbed under, there's a big hole in the exhaust, and it's like 34 years old, so you can't find those parts anymore. So I took it to my buddy John, and he just welded it. And now it's nice, right? You got to do maintenance. I even brought some tools. This is Freon. Don't breathe this. This is DOT-3 brake fluid, right? Does anybody know what this is? It is a gauge. It's a tire pressure gauge. Here's another one. This is a little advanced. It's a scanner. It's what you need. Let's see what that check engine light is. Here's another one. This is more common. Tire iron, lug wrench. This is an advanced one. Only the Stephs among us will know what this is. Does anybody know what this is? These are gauges to do a valve adjustment. Advanced. So, you got to have tools and you got to fix things, right? You got to maintain things. If you don't address that check engine light, if you don't address those tires, if you don't address that oil leak, what will likely happen a day, a month, or a year down the road? You're going to get stranded. You might get hurt. And by the way, you might hurt someone else, right? So, that's just to get you thinking about maintenance, about, you know, and so let's talk about our souls now. In the same way, we have to address the issues that are in our lives so that we don't get stranded or shipwrecked in our faith, okay? Now, you're here, and I think you're like me. You're seriously broken. And you're on the way to getting healed, and you're on the way to getting redeemed through the power of Jesus working in you. But you're probably not perfect yet, right? You got stuff maybe you're still dragging, right? You got some scars. You got hurts. You got things that keep you up at night. In Gideon's life, there were two things. Baal was the god of the Phoenicians, the Canaanites, and so they had moved into their land, so it's natural that when you move into someone's land and you make it your land, you're going to have to deal with some of the stuff there, right? Have you ever moved into someone else's land? Here's a land that you're moving into, okay? You moved into adulthood. You moved into the land of adulthood. And did you know there's some bales there? There's some things there that you're going to... If you try to date someone, you're moving into their land, and there's going to be some stuff there. And by the way, you're going to experience their stuff, which is going to trigger your stuff. And by the way, it's more important that you deal with your stuff than you deal with their stuff. Let them deal with their stuff. Let them and God deal with their stuff. Work on your stuff. So they move into this land. Baal was the god, really the supreme god. Baal means master. It's a mean word. It means master. It's not a nice word. It was the god of fertility. And the Asherah was the mother of Baal. So Asherah was the Phoenician goddess of fertility that gave birth to Baal. And the Asherim were these like totem poles they would build that had the image of Asherah on them that they would worship. So they would have the altar of Baal and the pillar of Asherim. And Gideon is told by God, before you walk forward in faith and do this mighty thing, I'm going to have you do some things. I'm going to have you go, and I'm going to have you address the Baal and the Asherah in your life and in your father's life. And this could be the sins of the father, okay? But I don't want to limit it to that. Some of us in this room are deeply scarred by your upbringing, or maybe your grandparents, or whoever was before you. Let's take a little shift toward the serious now and away from the fun and happy. But it's not limited just to our dysfunctional upbringing, okay? I want to plead with you guys. If you have issues in your past like we're talking about, this message is an opportunity, and it's not going to happen overnight, okay? I've been working on this. I became aware of my issues around age 15. So I've been working on this now for 37 years, and I'm not there. But, you know, some people were aware of how things encumber us and stunt us and stop us. And others, we might get a little glimpse and say, yeah, that's a thing, but we never stop and say, maybe I should find some healing. Maybe I should get some counseling. Maybe I should get some prayer. Maybe I should do some confession and deal with it. And guys, we never change. And we become 20 years old, and then we become 25, and we become 30, and we become 40, and we become 50. And nothing in our life is redeemed. And the same broken patterns that we've walked in since childhood continue. And that is not the heart of God for you and I. We are people who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and capable of experiencing new life through Him. From glory to glory, every day there's new mercy for you and I to be healed of our brokenness and become more whole. Isn't that a wonderful promise that we have as Christian people? So Gideon is called to face these things. And again, part of this, we could literally look at it and he say he's dealing with his dad's stuff. But it really goes beyond that, because no matter how good or bad your dad or mom or uncle or cousin or grandpa was or was not, you and I each have things that we've weaved into our own lives that are hurting us. And we can have an opportunity to face them. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book. It's one of those books that there were so many million copies sold, The Emotional Healthy Church by Pete Scazzaro. It's one of those ones that it's sort of like, you know, like there's so many Star Wars now, you just kind of forget what Star Wars even was, right? I mean, it's kind of like that in the sense that, like, this went so big and it has like seven different books now. There's like The Emotionally Healthy Disciple, there's The Emotionally Healthy Mom, there's like The Emotionally Healthy Car, The Emotionally Healthy like Rabbit, The Emotionally Healthy Toilet Paper. I mean, like, and it's kind of gotten crazy, but I want to recommend, if you're taking notes, this is a life-changing book. I read this book about 20 years ago and I just sat and wept as I read through it, and I began to experience some of the things we're talking about in a fresh way. And in this book, he goes through, and I'm going to show a couple graphics on the wall. This is just a shot from the book. And this is the life of David, and it just goes through. It starts with Jesse in the top left. Jesse was David's father. And there's all Jesse's children, and then there's David, number 7. And David walked in adultery, murder, and sexual sin. And then if you follow the little David, it goes down, and then there's all David's children. And then if you notice there, under David, you have Amnon, and you have Absalom, and you have Solomon, and his children also walked in those exact same sins. And then you go down there, and then you look at Solomon's sons, Rehoboam, and it goes on and on, and they also walked in the exact same pattern. Now, do you see what's happening here? It's the sins of the past that were never dealt with, and they cropped up again and again and again in future generations. Another example we have here is the example of Abraham. The next slide. Same thing. Abraham had a son, Isaac, who had a son, Jacob, and Abraham lied his way out of harm's way. You know what Isaac did when he got in harm's way? He lied to get out of harm's way. And then his son, Jacob, do you know what he did when he got in harm's way? He lied to get out of harm's way. So these are just examples, and this is just one of the 6 or 7 chapters in this book where he talks about maybe considering the patterns that we've adopted and maybe how it's affecting us to this day. So he has to do something too, guys, and it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. I mean, can you imagine, like it says he was scared, and like if you criticize him for that, like check yourself, you know? Because he had to go against his city, his father, and the gods of the land. And then he had to do something that was like pretty rambunctious. He had to take an altar and chop it up, kill an animal, all in the dark, and light it all on fire, and then face the consequences the next morning. And I think all that's just to say that, like, sometimes we need to get down and dirty. We need to, like, fight. We need to not play with the things. Like, if you know you're super broken because of XYZ, then don't think about it for 5 seconds and then, like, go on to the next Netflix show. Like, let's pause in a moment and say, what can I maybe do? What can I maybe think about? Maybe, what work can I maybe put in? I mean, some of us in this room have been through hundreds of hours of intense counseling to work through stuff, and that's a good thing. If you have a counselor that will make you work through stuff, it's a good thing. If you have a counselor that tells you what you want to hear and says, come back in 2 weeks and here's your bill, then you need a better counselor. But the point is there's a lot of work put in. For some of us in the room, this applies to men, but it also applies to women. It might be time to just start talking about things. You know, some of us, even in the Christian community, we're so ready to be perfect and so scared of ever looking weak that we never would ever bring a single issue in our life before another person because we'd be so worried about them judging us and what they thought about us. Well, maybe I'm not as strong. Maybe I'm not as good looking. Maybe I'm not as godly as you thought I was. And maybe if I begin, that's why churches are so plastic and artificial. Everyone just pretends that we're all holy and we have no problems. And I think that's one thing that's so beautiful and human about this group. There's so much pain, but there's so much healing. As people come and they trust and they say, okay, this could be my new brother. This could be my new sister. This could be my new mother. This could be my new father. And then as the time comes, and maybe it takes weeks or months or maybe years, but a time comes where we say, I'm ready to spill my life out and let these people that love me start taking care of me. And guys, that's when community happens. That's when healing starts happening. That's when a church starts getting real. That's when we start sharing life. And if you've never experienced that, I would tell you, settle for nothing less. So many hundreds of people have wept in this room. And it's one of my favorite things about this church because so much has leaked out when we've enabled ourselves to become vulnerable before each other and before the Spirit of God who is mercy and peace and safety and said, I want to grow through this and we need each other. So thinking about what it is maybe that God is calling me to knock over and burn down. Think about your life. And here's the way to know. What keeps coming up? Like, if you left your last relationship, let's just pick a sin. What pick a sin? Anybody? Bitterness. Good one. Yeah, real bad one. But let's say you had a relationship with a guy or a girl, and something happened, and you became very bitter. And let's say they really, really hurt you, and you chose not to forgive them. And you said it's over, and you carry that bitterness. And then 6 months later, you met someone else. Guess what? The moment they hurt you, that bitterness is going to whack, and it's going to unleash on them again, and it's going to ruin that relationship. Someone pick another sin. Pride. Church. It's same in relationships. It's the same in a church. If you come to a church and things begin getting exposed in you, the example given was pride. And you begin to look and think, you know, I could do that better than them. And, you know, and you begin judging and saying, you know, their kids' church is no good and these sermons are weak and their music stinks. And, you know, and you get that pride and say, you know, I really kind of know God and let me go down the road because, you know what's going to happen when you go to your next church? The exact same thing. Is that you're going to start looking at everything else and before long that exact same thing is going to say, it's all you. And it goes anywhere. If you're lazy in the job you have right now, When you go to your next job, you're going to be lazy. It's just going to happen. If you're unthankful at today's meal, tomorrow's meal, you're going to be unthankful. So rather than trying to always change the situation, I'm not saying not to get out of an abusive, bad relationship, but maybe if we start working on this, then we deal with ourselves, and the next person, the next job, the next church that experiences me will deal with a redeemed me where I don't pour all that stuff out onto them again. Because what happens then, guys, we just leave a string of broken relationships behind us where our stuff was never, ever, ever, ever dealt with. So, point one, deal with your stuff before going forward. I'll be a little quicker on the last two. All right, everybody, smile. We're dealing with our stuff. I smell the ashes. It's burnt. My dad came, and I was like, Dad, I got to follow God. And Dad's like, all right, I'll stand up for you. Hey, let Baal contend for himself. I don't see him here, like, fixing all this, you know. And so Gideon's like, man, okay. Like, it's great, right? Like, everyone smile. We did it. Like, we burnt down the thing, right? Like, we fought through. And now it's easy street, right? Dang it. Verse 33 comes. I read this, and I was like, God, you're so funny. So you deal with your thing, and then guess what happens? Verse 33. Then the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves and crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Now, what does that little verse mean? Couldn't you leave that out, Lord? It's so telling. The valley, if you look geographically, the valley of Jezreel is on the western side of Israel, and there is a massive mountain right next to it. So if you read this verse and you just kind of dig a little bit, you realize what it's saying in here is this huge army crossed a mountain to come get Gideon and his friends, okay? And then it says it was them and their friend army and the son of the east, and they assembled, which means they assembled for battle. And then it says they camped. Why were they camping? Guys, they weren't roasting marshmallows, okay? They were camping for battle to kill Gideon and his relatives. Right after he does this huge thing and burns the idols and gets rid of it and says, God, fine, I'm going to deal with my stuff. I'm going to work through it. The very next verse says, okay, you did it. Great. Guess what's coming over the mountain to kill you? Even more armies, and they're bringing their friends this time. And I think that's a reality. It was not good news for them. Verse 33 was not good news. It must have been very, very scary. But Lord, I just obeyed you. I did what you said. Shouldn't it be easy now? Lord, I burnt all this stuff. Don't you see all the things, all the stuff I've worked through? Why isn't it getting easy? Can anyone relate? Why is it still hard? Like, it's still hard. They're still coming over the mountain to get me. I don't understand. I find great comfort in this verse because it's telling us it's going to still be hard. Have you guys seen the new chair yoga craze? Chair yoga? Has anyone seen it in the ads? Chair yoga. Yeah, it shows a person who's in a certain condition, and then it shows them, it's all AI, and they're sitting in a chair, and they're like, doing this, and then like their body like morphs into like a Brad Pitt, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen? No one's seen these? Don't you guys use the internet? Do y'all know what the internet is? Chair yoga? It's like, it's the new craze. And it says 15 minutes a day in your chair, you can do this, and you're going to look, you know, like whoever the new model is. It's this promise, and it's just ingrained in all of life except Christianity. It's this promise that the minimum work's going to have to be put in, and you're going to be amazing. And is that life? It is not life. It is not Christianity especially. It's a hard thing to walk a narrow road and follow after a Savior who suffered. But there's a great reward. My wife and I went to Highlands, North Carolina during our sabbatical alone. Our daughter was with grandma. One of my favorite things that we did was we climbed this mountain. And it was one of these mountains. It was probably, I don't know, an hour and a half to get to the top from the beginning. And they tell you at the beginning, like, here's the path. It's a one lane. And it was a pretty major incline, like way up. And it said it on the, like, the, you know, you read the thing that tells you the path. And it's like, you can't take a car up there because A, there's only one lane up a mountain. So if someone's coming down, you can't go up. And B, there's nowhere to park. So we walked this, I mean, it was a serious incline. Both of us were huffing and puffing, and we're in okay shape. And we walked for probably the first hour or so up this thing. And it was, I mean, it was 8 feet of pavement, steep incline. The beginning, the houses were 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. By the time we got to close to the top, 800,000, these huge, beautiful, million-dollar houses, stunning. And we walk and walk and walk, and we like kept having to take breaks, and we're sweating. And I mean, it was just like, it was so it was exerting. And so we finally get to the end of the pavement, and I'm like, thank goodness we're there. But it was just like this big forest. And then there's this little sign, and it was like, okay, now that way. And it was a path about 3 feet. It was so narrow that only one of us, we had to like walk behind, one of us had to be behind each other. And it was through this forest, and it was still going up, and it was all rocky. And we got to that point where it went from pavement to that, and there's a sign. It said, beware the bears. There's bears here. And I chickened out. I did. I was like, I don't want to die here. Like, there's bears, and they're going to eat me, and we're already tired. Like, my knee was hurting. Like, how much further is this? And it doesn't tell you, like, another mile. It's just like, just keep going till you die. Like, that's it. And I chickened out, and it was dark, too. The forest was dark. And I told Jennifer, I was like, can we just go back? Like, this is, and she's like, no, like, we gotta keep going. Like, we gotta keep going. And I was like, well, there's bears. And then it's like, there's like a sign, or I don't know if there was a sign or she read it, but she's like, we just gotta play loud music. And she asked me, she's like, do you have any AC/DC? And I said, no, but I do have Buckethead, which is way better. So I was like, how's this? And I played a Buckethead song, which is like thrash metal. And she's like, that's perfect. So we got Buckethead. It's like, let's go. And we walked another 20 minutes. And I was scared. There's nobody around. Nobody around. And we walked through, and we walked another maybe 20 minutes. And we got to the top of the summit. And it was one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen in my life. I think there was like four or five states that you could see from up there. I don't remember which ones they were, but it's one of those places you get to the top. There's nothing, just a rock. And I think it was the highest point in North Carolina. And you could see all these states, and you could just see everything, and it was gorgeous. You know, and once I got up there, I just was like, I'm so glad I didn't stop. Because I was ready, guys, I was ready to stop after the first hour. My body was killing me. And my wife said, let's keep going. And we did. And it was so worth it. And we never saw any bears there. So I'll give you a couple verses if you're taking notes, and then we're going to conclude. Jeremiah 12:5. He says, if you've walked with a footman and they've tired you out, how will you compete with the horses? If you've fallen down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? It's a verse I read many years ago, and I've told you guys about, and it's pushed me to realize I got to be ready to run, not walk, and I got to be ready for thorns, not peace. And that doesn't mean I don't welcome walking in peace, but sometimes we just have to get ourselves ready for a battle. Another one is John 18:4. This has become my mantra prayer for the last couple years, and John 18:4 is when Jesus was praying in the garden, and he prayed three times. His friends fell asleep three times. He woke them up the third time, and then he saw the torches coming, and he told his disciples, he said, okay, it's time. It's about to go down. And in John 18:4, it says something that's bewildering to me. It says, knowing what was about to happen to him, Jesus went forth to the mob. Knowing what was about to happen to him, Jesus went forth to the mob. And I, since reading that, just the Lord spoke to me and I've prayed. And that's kept me alive through a lot of fights. And we need that in the church today. Teenagers, you need that as you fight the culture today. Adults, singles, married, parents, we need that. We need to pray that into our spirit 1,000 times. God, knowing how hard this might be, and it might cost me everything, I'm going to go forth, and I'm going to face that mob, because you are with me, and I will take this fight on. It's not about me, it's about you and me, and we can do it together. So, It will still be hard. Tell your neighbor, it will still be hard. Last point to conclude. It's okay. You did not come to be entertained. If you did, don't come back next week, because this is how it is here every Sunday. Okay? We are following Jesus Christ. And sometimes we carry the cross, right? Sometimes it's like this and beautiful. Other times we carry the cross because he's worth it. God blesses obedience and faith. Tell your neighbor that. God blesses obedience and faith. Gideon burns the idols. He sees the enemies coming over the mountain anyway. He says, Lord, I knew it wouldn't be easy. I did the thing and they're still coming. Bring them on. And then verse 34 says, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and the Abiezerites, their friends, were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout the tribe of Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And then he sent messengers to the other tribes, Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, each consisting of tens of thousands of warriors, and they came to meet him. Even in your timid, failing, scared, late night, I'm worried they're going to see me in the day, so I'll do it at night. I'm following God with just a little shoestring of faith that's still there. God will bless your obedience and your faith in him. We put the work in, and I love in verse 34, like, this is great. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. So guys, if you're Gideon, like, you can just pray the scripture right now. You can just say, God, like, clothe me with your Spirit. I'm in a place like Gideon. It seems impossible, but like it says right here, you did it to him. And then it says in the New Testament that that's my example. So I need the same stuff. Like, give me a dose. Give me 10 doses. Give me 1,000 doses of the Spirit. And then as the Spirit comes on him, we see the favor of God come on him. And all these his brothers come with him and say, okay, it's impossible, but we're going to follow you. We're going to fight with you. It's worth it. God wants us to be free. We weren't designed to be slaves. We weren't designed to hide in holes from other people. So we're with you. He inspires them with his faith. And guys, by the way, his actions with these altars, this Baal thing, it went around because they lived in fear of those things. It's just like today. And you see a person that'll stand up to the gods of the age and you see him say, I'll fight it. And you see him burn it and you say, you know what? If he did, I can do it. And we gather together and say, we're going to go. He gets more of God's Spirit. He gets more favor. Bravery comes. Armies are gathered. Tribes rally. Cities send their soldiers to help. Interestingly, if you know the story, none of that will be needed. Isn't that interesting? But it happens nonetheless. Isn't it great to have a full room? Don't you think he felt great to have a full field of soldiers who brought their weapons and said, we'll fight? For us today, in July 2025, it means that God will do the same thing for us. He will bless our faith, even if it's small. He will bless our obedience. I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I was involved in all the sins, and I met the Lord, and the Lord met me, rather, and my life really began to change. And I immediately started realizing that my old life was no longer compatible with the life that this was calling me to live. And so I had 1,001 sins that I had done and grappled with and that were probably wanting to pull me back into those. And I remember one day I just decided, I don't know how I decided to do this. I think I like heard of a Keith Green story or something. But I had like all these books and movies and just like all the things that you have when you're, you know, all the things that help you do bad things. And my dad had this metal trash can. And I remember one day after school, after college, that I just went and I just took all this stuff. Guys, it was a lot. It was like a duffel bag of just, I just went through the house, through my bedroom. I took everything from the past life, and I threw it in this thing, and I took some gasoline, and I just poured it all over it, and then I threw a match in there, and, you know, because you better watch out, and all that stuff burned up into ashes, It was a statement as a new Christian. I got to be different. I'm too weak to leave all this around. I want to be clean of it. I want a new life. I burned all that stuff. Black smoke, just, you know, all the things. And I sat there and watched it burn, and I don't even remember if my dad ever found out. It was like there's half my things, it's gone now. I remember a few months later, I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about a particular way of thinking and sin that I had really lived my whole life in. And I remember I was like coming home from church or something, and I was like, man, like I haven't thought that way in like 3 months. And it was like the most like light feeling, you know, just light. And I remember in that moment realizing the reason I've been free of that is because I got rid of it. I got rid of it. I burned the idol, and its influence on me significantly stopped. Now, I'm not saying it all goes away, because the devil's going to keep coming after you, all right? But we can work diligently to burn the idols of the past and move forward into new faith. The Spirit of God will come upon us like Gideon and do new things. And that is the call today. Amen? Amen. Now, I preached extra long today because I was asked to. We have VBS happening, and they have all the way up to the last minute activities. So I lengthen my message a little bit. I hope that that's okay. Let's stand. And I'd like to invite you, if you'd like prayer. Some of us are in the battle that Gideon is in right now, and you would like to be filled with the Spirit of God to assist you in that battle. So if that's you, I want to invite you. You can come and we can pray for you now. If that's you, come on up. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Give us the grace to identify the things that are plaguing us, hurting us, and give us strength to move through those things. Come on up if that's you. Thank you, Father, for your work in this room. Some of us right now, you're thinking, I've been fighting this 100 times. And there's nothing going to change. I'm here to tell you, yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is. Sometimes the door's got 100 locks on it, and you take 99 of them open, and nothing happens. But number 100, the door opens. Sometimes persistence before the Lord pays off. And he meets the humble heart. There's a number of us in the room. If we could have 5 or 6 people come pray for those who've come forward. There's a number of us in the room now. Make that 6 or 7 people. If we could have 6 or 7 people come forward and pray for those who've come up right now. Come on up, a bunch of you guys. I feel like there's a number of us, as we've been praying just the last minute, that there are phrases that your mother and father spoke to you that have just been going through your head. And they were harmful phrases. that your mother and father spoke to you that are just, it's like you're sitting here and you feel like you're on the edge of a cliff. We need a couple guys over here on the right also to come help pray. It's like you feel like you're on the edge of a cliff and you feel like this is great and maybe something could happen, but I'm just too broken and I'm too humiliated and I'm too like unwilling and I just don't feel like it'll get better because this thing's just been stamped on you. And I feel like the power of God is here this morning to break off identities that some of us are still walking in. So if that's you, and just you don't have to come forward, I want to pray for you. I just encourage you, you don't have to open your hands, you don't have to let anyone know what's happening to you, but I just want you to receive the Spirit of God, and I want you to receive this prayer as we pray. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come, and I ask you to break off things that were said to us by the mother and the father. Particularly, I feel like just this morning, it's the mother. Things that were said that put us in a hole, that put us in a place that we just wore an identity that we could never be this or we would always be that because that person spoke that over us. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would break that power and that stronghold over our lives now. This morning, may it be, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, break the power of those things in our lives and begin to speak the truth to us louder. Lord, open our ears to hear what is true about ourselves and what is true about life and not live according to what someone else has said that's causing us to limp along and be broken and scarred. So in Jesus' name, I break the power of curses, of condemnation, of the weight of those things, of falseness that's been put on those of us in this room. In Jesus' name, may it be. I'm going to let you guys pray. Take your time in the front. I'm going to dismiss us now. Hope everyone will join us in the back for the party. Father, we go in your peace, and we ask these things to be worked in our lives in great ways. Pray for a safe, fun time in the backyard. And we thank you for all you're doing and all you are for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, go in peace. Have a great Sunday. Hope to see you in the back for fun and food.